What a round. What a player.
How's that look?
Turn to glory. Rahm wins the Masters Marathon.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Athletics Masters Preview. I am Brendan Quinn of The Athletic, and I'm here with my colleagues Brody Miller and Gabby Herzig. We are going to take a look at the 2024 Masters. First, we want to kind of unpack why we love this week so much. Brody, last year you covered your first Masters, and I remember I think it was my fourth or fifth, and getting to watch somebody go through the experience that you did was awesome. What did it mean to you to actually get to do it, and why do you love this week so much?
Yeah, I think any answer, honestly, like, that doesn't start with just like it's, I don't care how corny this is, the literal beauty of Augusta National is kind of where it starts. It is like you walk out there and it just looks like a national park or something. It is like a brightness of green that you've just never seen before. The azaleas blooming, types of trees, just everything is so manicured and perfect. It is just this kind of perfectly visual, aesthetically looking golf course. But then on top of that, it is a place that has so much lore and so much history. It's, most majors are different courses every few years. And here's a place where, like, you know the holes. You have context. You watch Jack hit it on, you watch Tiger hit this ball on 12. You saw this guy hit in the water here. You know the risks and all of this. So it's like when you're watching it, you have the context of, you know, all these decades of golf, and it makes it so much more special because you are watching history get made up.
I attended the 2011 Masters. I was 12 and a half years old. I went with my dad and my grandparents, and we saw Charles Schwartzel win, South African, but it was also the year that Rory McIlroy had his famed collapse on the back nine on Sunday, which is a tale that is way too often told at Augusta National. Sitting there with my dad, setting up our little green chairs, one thing that people don't often know about Augusta and being a fan of Augusta is they have these little green folding Masters chairs. They're the only chairs that you can use on the property. And there's an honor system where you put your chair down with your name on it. You can leave it. No one will touch it. You can sit in it for a little bit, but when the person who owns the chair comes back, it'll be there waiting for them. That's one of the little traditions of Augusta that I love to tell people.
Yeah, I think my favorite is no phones. It's basically the only place on the planet that you can go where heads aren't lunging forward looking at iPhones all day. I remember coming at when covering the COVID, the first Masters after the COVID with a crowd, and seeing everyone's faces and everyone actually watching other people in person doing things was like the most vibrant, like life-affirming thing that I could have imagined at that time, just away from screens. What a novel thought. And it is that way to this day. And I imagine always. So what are we looking forward to this week? I want you to talk to me as if I'm someone who hasn't paid attention to any golf because I've been covering the NCAA tournament for 3 weeks and I'm currently in Phoenix getting ready for the national championship game. You guys are both out there. Give me the snapshot.
I think what's mainly happened while you've been gone, Brendan, is Scottie Scheffler has basically risen from already the best player in the world to he might now be one of the most special players we've seen just from a pure day-to-day golf point of view since maybe even a Tiger Woods or since peak Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy. He has a chance to be that great. So when you ask, you know, what I'm looking forward to most this week, yeah, it's boring to say I'm most interested in the favorite, but to watch a guy who he only technically only, quote unquote, has one major, but we're watching him play some of the best golf we've seen for 2 or 3 years straight. Can he make that leap to a guy who now really dominates the sport, who can win a major when he's expected to get a second green jacket? I think that's the big thing I'm watching. Obviously, the big storyline is he changed his putter and he's putting more reliably. But just in reality, can he go take it? Because you don't want to look back on these incredible 3 years and be like, oh, wow, you only won one. You know, that would be a real shame.
Yes, that's definitely one of the big storylines. The other one that kind of rolls around every year when it's time for the Masters is, will Rory McIlroy complete the career Grand Slam? It's something that I think every golf fan wants. The big question is, will it ever happen? Rory, obviously, he has been playing pretty solid. He hasn't had a stellar season yet. He hasn't won yet, but last week in San Antonio, he had a really good finish. I think solo third, which is a great sign heading into Augusta. One thing about Rory is he kind of starts to tinker when it comes to Augusta. Every year, it seems like he's trying something new in the months or weeks leading up to the tournament. Last year, he started working with a sports psychologist, Dr. Bob Rotella. That didn't work out very well for him because he then missed the cut badly. But this year, there's something else going on. We heard that Rory went and saw Butch Harmon, the legendary swing coach, for a little tune-up a couple weeks ago. He's always kind of got something up his sleeve that he's trying ahead of Augusta. So it's just going to be, you know, a we'll see situation with Rory this week. And yeah, it's one of those things where you're kind of just waiting on the edge of your seat to see how his opening round will go, because that's obviously going to be an indicator for what the rest of the week will have in store.
I think I'm most curious to see the dynamic of Jon Rahm returning as Darth Vader after winning last year's Masters and then making the transition to LIV and now coming back. Really his first, it is his first crossover event, playing his former, I wouldn't say colleagues. I don't know what the right word is of when you jump from one tour to another. But yeah, this will be his first time going toe to toe again with PGA Tour players. And I'm not only curious about the state of his game, because there at any various number of times in the last 3-5 years, he's been the best player in the world. I'm really curious to kind of see how he returns to really a public eye and when what he's going to say about you know, the state of the game and his place in it. And for those who don't know, LIV is the rival tour to the PGA Tour. It is owned, operated, funded by the Saudi Public Investment Fund.
Yeah, and we're gonna find out, is he the kind of guy who like relishes being the, like you said, the Darth Vader, or is he a guy who that messes with? And to your, you know, bringing up LIV, I think last year it was a huge storyline coming in, but it was a huge storyline because it was the first time everyone was getting back together and the novelty of it was the story, it feels like, and so much of last year. This year, I feel like the narrative of the last few months has become the majors matter more than they ever have, because it's the only four times a year where you get all the best players together. It has like the original Super Bowl, you know, AFC, NFC coming together kind of thing. And I think that's what makes this even juicier, is that we now feel robbed of having all the best players play each other, and now we get to see it again.
Speaking of best players, Gabby, what do you think we will see from Tiger Woods?
Great question, Brendan. That is a massive mystery, honestly. The last time we saw Tiger Woods, he played at his event that he hosts at Riviera Country Club, the Genesis, and he actually withdrew after 26 holes, I believe, due to a stomach illness. But the thing that we have to watch with Tiger is obviously his ankle. Last summer, he had ankle fusion surgery to address some of the complications that arose in his single car accident from 2021. So the leg and the back injuries that kind of get triggered by the leg injuries are really what we have to worry about with Tiger Woods. But we just haven't seen him play four competitive rounds in a while. So what we're going to watch with Tiger this week is, number one, how he's walking. People say he's walking pretty well so far, but you know, that's what people are saying. It's Tiger Woods. They'll take anything that they can get from him. But in general, just how his body holds up, what his stamina is looking like, if, you know, the ends of his rounds are weaker than the beginnings of his rounds. So it's really going to be kind of a mystery that we'll see as the week unfolds. But I'm personally hoping for a made cut from Tiger. It's Augusta National. It's like his home. It's his mecca. This is Tiger Woods we're talking about, not just any other player. So if the body holds up, I think he could fare pretty well.
Yeah, he's really only played a full event, I think, once, essentially, right? Yeah, since having to withdraw from last year's Masters, when he did make the cut in a pretty valiant effort. You know, the thing about the property is that the old cliche is it's hillier than you see on TV, but it is a grind.
It is
of a
tough
walk.
And
for Tiger to do that is extremely extreme levels of stress, I think, on his body. So you know, can he make the weekend? And if he does make the weekend, can he finish out and post the finish is going to be definitely something to watch, and it is painful to watch him go through it. But he's going to give it a go again, because I don't think he knows any other way. So let's get into the big question. Do we pick our winners, putting Scottie Scheffler aside?
He's
so far ahead in
basically the biggest favorite at a major since like 05 Tiger Woods. Yeah.
Right. So that feels like a bit of a cheat. So let's that Scotty goes 80-80 and he's gone for the weekend.
Who
is your winner, Brody?
If we're taking him out, I like Hideki Matsuyama right now. Obviously, he's a guy who won here just 3 years ago. But then you add in the fact that he's gone through the injuries of the last few years and all that, and has come out, you know, wins at Riviera in thrilling fashion. But then is just racking up top tens the last few weeks. This whole year has looked fantastic. So you mix the course fit, the success here, and the form he's in. I think he'd be a really good pick.
All right. I have a pick that is a delusional pick and a pick that I actually think that I want to win, that I think could win. Here's my delusional pick I'll start with is Jordan Spieth. He always does well at Augusta, so it's not that delusional for that reason. But he also had just a crazy week last week at the PGA Tour event. He hit a ball on top of a clubhouse. He did all sorts of funky Jordan Spieth things. So he has that energy right now, and it just feels like something could be coming for Spieth at Augusta. So that's my first one I'll shout out. The second one, more kind of logical pick in my brain, is Brooks Koepka. We haven't seen much of him. He's one of those LIV guys that's kind of hiding when not many people are watching him on TV, because LIV events are really hard to watch. But he has always been such a good ball striker. He obviously fared well at this course last year, runner up to Jon Rahm. And he's kind of probably hunting for a little bit of revenge. And we know when Brooks gets that blood boiling mentality and kind of the fire under him, he can be super dangerous. 5-time major champion. I think you got to watch for Brooks.
I'm going to do something that I said I was never going to do again, because from, I think, about 2018 through 2021, I picked Xander Schauffele to win every single major and figured at some point I'll be right. And then he didn't. So I swore off of him in 2022. But now I think I'm back. You know, this is a guy who really could have won in 2019 if not for one bad swing or one misjudgment of the wind when he got wet at the wrong time. But you know, maybe 2019 should have been it. Maybe 2021 should have been it. Last year, if you go back and look, you know, if it weren't for a second round 74, he probably would have been in position to at least make a run, because he played fairly well. He ended up finishing T10. So I'll say that this is it. It's so overdue. He's a top five player in the world. If it doesn't happen, I'll swear off of him again. And then when we record in 2025,
yeah, you'll be back.
I'll say, I'm back, baby. Me and Xander riding together. So, you know, don't forget last year, I don't think a lot of people had never heard of Brian Harman before major season. And then by the end of the year, he was on the Ryder Cup team. So we never know what'll happen, and I cannot wait to get out there and jump into the fray. We will be providing daily coverage on all angles, trying to find, you know, great stories and the news that matters to everyone out there. So check out theathletic.com and check out the New York Times, and make sure you're following all of us on social media. And guys, I got a 6 a.m. flight Tuesday morning. I will be there.